Sim. Sam?
Sorry, man, that feeling.
City Council will come to order. Carla, please call the roll.
Adams?
Here.
Leonard?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Potter?
Here. I'd like to remind folks that prior to offering public testimony to City Council, a lobbyist must declare which lobbying entity they are authorized to represent. Please read the first communication.
Item 686, request of Lawrence H. Bishop to address Council regarding the Sit No Lie Law and camping. I believe he's not going to be able to make it today.
Please read the next.
687, request of Laura Spitzy to address Council regarding the homeless protest and sit lie ordinance.
Morning, gentlemen. Morning.
Please state your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes.
And pardon?
Say, please state your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes.
Oh, thank you. My name is Laura Spitzy. Good to see you guys. Nice to meet you. All right, so you probably have my letter before, but I wanted to read it before Council. I hope you have it. Give it before. Dear Mayor Potter and members of our City Council, it is often said a society is judged not in how it treats its greatest, but how it treats its least. I understand the pressures and burden the City Council has to endure, with local business leaders and federal demands impeding the resolution of a consensus on the issue of our homeless and the sit lie ordinance. But our loving community of humanitarians and advocates watch in horror as our fellow human brothers and sisters in need are truly left in the cold. To be clear, these people do not demand a privilege, rather their right to exist, to sit or to sleep, with no demand for further rights, I believe, are deserved. But their rights have been criminalized, and their crime is poverty. I know how it feels to suffer the burden of poverty. Its devastating weight takes a toll on your spirit like nothing else imaginable to one blessed with liquidity. The constant stress of simply how one will survive is monumental. Without the kindness and support of others, never mind my nerves of steel, one could easily give in to the despair and frustration that creates our broken, our addicts, our criminals, and our lost. It is easy to see the perspective of the business community in opposition to the homeless that panhandle and loiter on the public sidewalks near their stores, but we must realize outlining this is not going to create the solution. Instead, it has only highlighted the problem, and it will escalate as thousands more of our country's homeless are rounded up and given tickets to Portland. We have become the dumping ground for our schizophrenic society's moral dilemma and economic fallout. In their actions, the rest of the nation has assumed that our local culture and local values will respond and care for these people. I say our city must proudly accept and courageously surmount this problematic obstacle to found a noble solution. But we do not expect the council to do this alone. We have the creativity of the community. We are in one of the most sustainably driven, technologically savvy, and intellectually enlightened regions of the world. Within the vastness of our community lies a rich network of visionaries, inventors, engineers, entrepreneurs, advocates, and eager volunteers ready to contribute our enthusiasm. We have the teachers and necessary technology and the critical mass motivation to create a self-sustaining, economy-producing, self-regulating, citizen-owned solution. Eco-built shelters with wind or solar power, gray and black water recycling, collectively worked and shared farmland and crops, even volunteer workshops in self-esteem, business thinking, and meditation. How can we better address this crisis and learn to nurture those in need to succeed? You have the rest of my letter, gentlemen. This is an exciting opportunity for us to bring together the noble spirits of humanity and compassion. The world has been watching our local crisis, and now it is up to us to show what the character of our city is and help our least. Thank you.
No clapping. If you want to demonstrate support, you can wave your hand like that. Well, you're out of order. Please call the next person.
688, request of Wesley Flowers to address council regarding sit, lie, and camping ordinances and the 10-year plan.
Thank you for being here. When you speak, state your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes.
Good morning, Mayor Potter, members of the City Council. My name is Wesley Flowers, and I sleep outside. On Sunday night, I slept at the Salvation Army Harbor Light Center's 90-bed extended shelter, which this administration provided as a response to the protest outside. And I'm appalled that you would even suggest that someone sleep in those conditions. 2-foot-wide mats on the floor, scrunched up next to each other with no shower facilities, and blankets that go unwashed and reused until they're so dingy that they're thrown out and replaced with new to begin the cycle of wasteful resource management and a public health hazard all over again. Those hardly qualify as beds. I am less likely to get sick outside. I am less likely to get scabies outside. I am less likely to get rolled onto, slept on, and drooled over if I don't have some guy 6 inches on either side of me. These are inhumane conditions. The sit-lie and urban camping quality of life ordinances have already been found unconstitutional by the Ninth Circuit, and people still have to sleep. There are not enough beds for the people that want them, and those that are available on a limited basis are unsanitary and overcrowded, and even those who are sleeping in those beds are not afforded enough time to get a good night's sleep. To criminalize the act of sleeping in a public place due to lack of other available or rationally dignified options could be nothing other than cruel and unusual punishment. This is turning a social problem into a criminal one, and it simply doesn't make any sense. Considering that Portland is only one out of 97 cities with virtually identical programs, it also seems that there is a state of class criminalization and permanent displacement for millions of people nationwide. This is not coincidence, this is premeditation, and it is looking more and more like social cleansing based on policies that induce an economic apartheid, and it sickens me that this could possibly be going on in my country. The 10-year plan was developed 3 years ago, while 6 months ago we experienced the beginning of a recession, which is looking increasingly like a depression, and the 10-year plan is not equipped to respond to that contingency. You cannot truly focus on permanent housing first when the country is in the middle of a housing crisis and record job loss. People are coming onto the streets faster than the 10-year plan ever envisioned, and they are being swept around like trash and forced into the criminal justice system faster than they can figure out what to do. This is not right. Social cleansing is a crime against humanity, and this needs to stop now. Is this the legacy you're planning on leaving behind? Your last few months in office being hounded by bums demanding the most basic of human rights, the opportunity to get a good night's sleep. A potential federal lawsuit for the incoming mayor during his first term? It's almost like leaving as big of a mess as Bush will when he gets out of office, too. Repeal the sit, lie, and camping ordinances and establish a green zone now. Not tomorrow, today. Thank you.
Please don't clap. Please call the next.
689, request of Pete Munyon to address council regarding sit, lie, and camping ordinances.
Please state your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes.
My name is Peter Munyon. It's really nice to see so many people here from so many different backgrounds today. Really interested in how we can all live together, because Portland belongs to all of us. One of the biggest issues right now, like we've been hearing, is that there are people in this town who have no place to sleep. I have the city's numbers here. Its most recent count, there were 575 individuals who were turned away from shelter opportunities. They were told, you cannot have a bed tonight. 575 people. All of Portland's city's numbers show that there are more homeless people in this town than there are beds. The enforcement of the no camping and sit lie ordinances, as I have personally witnessed it and have videotape of it, consisted of, in one instance, an officer coming around and simply telling people they had to get out of their sleeping bags. That was the enforcement. They had to get out of their sleeping bags. He woke them up and told them they had to lie on top of their sleeping bags, that it was erecting a structure to have a tarp and a sleeping bag over them. This is Portland. It rains. You get wet. If you get wet, you lose heat much faster. I have a couple of quotations for you from the U.S. Army Survival Manual regarding that. To begin with, quote, a shelter can protect you from the sun, insects, wind, rain, snow, hot or cold temperatures, and enemy observation. It can give you a feeling of well-being. It can help maintain your will to survive. In some areas, your need for shelter may take precedence over your need for food and possibly even your need for water. For example, prolonged exposure to cold can cause excessive fatigue and weakness, exhaustion. An exhausted person may develop a passive outlook, thereby losing the will to survive. It goes on to state that when at rest, you lose as much as 80% of your body heat to the ground. A sleeping bag and a tarp are not unreasonable, gentlemen. There's nothing unreasonable about a person curling up in a sleeping bag and pulling a tarp over themselves. That's what the enforcement of this law is about, whether or not people have the right to sleep. You've heard plenty, and you'll hear more about the Ninth Circuit decision, I'm sure. I've personally read that opinion, and it looks pretty conclusive to me. Really, I just want to say again, this is about how we can live together as neighbors. And that has to be the fundamental question we consider. We have to think about this neighbor to neighbor to neighbor, all 500,000 or however many of us there are in this little area we call Portland. Thank you very much.
Please call the next.
690, request of Robert Barrett to address council regarding hardships of the sit, lie, and camping ordinances.
Please state your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes.
Good morning. My name is Robert Barrett. I can tell you who we are. We are the ones who fell through the cracks of capitalist greed. We are the ones that exist in the shadows. We are shunned by humanity. We are the ones of the lowest social spectrum, only trumped by lepers and the mentally insane. I could tell you also that we are not all diseased. We are not all drug addicts and begging degenerates. We are fathers and mothers, brothers and sisters, daughters and sons. We are forced to live a nomadic life, cat and mouse, never finding rest or solace in fear of that inevitable wake-up call by the boys in blue. Our entire lives attached to our backs, the weight of a system crushing us with every step. To alleviate this, to take off that pack and sit, to stretch out and nap from sleepless exhaustion, to leave our things in a place that serves no useful purpose and to sleep full well throughout the night is a luxury that is not afforded to us. We are a problem only because we are made to be a problem. We are tired. We are tired. From the man who stands in solidarity with a sign in front of City Hall to the woman who works 40 hours a week but has no house to go to, we are tired. From the woman who cannot rest her aching joints in fear of citation to the man who is slowly going crazy from paranoia and cold, we are tired. We have been swept from City Hall. We have been swept, and we have been swept. However, the dust under the rug is building up. What was once out of sight and out of mind is now making a stand. We are here. You can see us. United in a single goal, we grow strong. We call for the repeal of the sit, lie, and camping ordinances. We call for an end to what is in itself unlawful, unconstitutional, and above all, inhumane. We are human. We feel hunger, cold, loss, fear, and hope. Do not let us lose this last thread of sanity. We are no longer asking for a handout. We are demanding our rights as citizens and human beings. The 10-year plan is a start in the right direction. However, it does not solve the immediate crisis of the current houseless population unable to find shelter. Our voices might have died down, but rest assured that they will remain, starting only as whispers behind your back, but they will grow stronger every day until you have no choice but to listen. We will not rest, and as is currently impossible to do so legally, we will not sleep until our rights as citizens of the great United States of America are recognized. I personally challenge the members of this council, Mayor Potter and Mayor-elect Adams, to attend the next feed under the Burnside Bridge. It is easy sitting behind a desk and closed doors to deny people their rights, but I challenge you to look these people in the eyes, to tell them in person that they have no rights to a dignified existence. We will not run, and we will not hide. We are educated and strong together. We are prepared for a long and heated battle, and I hope that you are as well. We will rise up. Thank you.
Don't clap, folks. Do not clap, please. Is that all the folks who signed up?
That's all the communications.
Okay. Move to the consent agenda. Do any commissioners wish to pull any items from the consent agenda? Do we have a request?
We've got a request from Mike D. to pull all the items from consent.
As a presiding officer, under the Roberts Rules and Portland City Code, I rule a request to pull all items off the consent agenda as a dilatory motion intended to delay or obstruct the proceedings of council, that doing so would unreasonably interfere with the order and decorum of the council. Unless any council member has an objection, I deny this request and move we proceed with today's meeting. Excuse me, I'm asking the council members. Hearing none, please call the vote. Excuse me. Excuse me. I've ruled you're out of order. Please sit down. Please sit down. You have to sit. You have to sit, Mike.
Do I have a chance to respond to your comment?
You do not talk from the audience. You have been ruled that we're going to proceed and that we're going to overrule.
Sir, the way you work is out of order.
Please call the vote.
I'd like to object to a couple of items, please.
Aye.
No.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read the 9:30 time, sir.
Item 691, the difference of community involvement, Open Meadow City Core Youth Presentation.
Please come forward.
Good morning, Council. For the record, my name is Yvonne Decker, and I'm the director for the Bureau of Human Resources. Council adopted an ordinance in January of 2007 to renew the City Core Youth Program coordinated by Open Meadows Alternative School. The presentation today concludes the third successful consecutive year of this program between the city and Open Meadow. The City Core Youth Program, established in 2005, was designed to teach youth about the city government and increase their involvement in the civic process. This past year, more than 40 youth between the ages of 16 and 21 worked with city staff in various bureaus. After receiving instructions and problem-solving techniques, students, teams employed their newly acquired knowledge to solve problems and present results and solutions to bureau management and ultimately the city council. The five projects that youth were involved in was the Office of Youth Violence Prevention, eight youth surveyed youth and made recommendations to curb the problems of youth violence. The Office of Sustainable and Development, six students created a focus group, built a sustainable garden, surveyed the community, blogged about their experiences, created a web page and resources of information for other young people who wish to turn brown spaces into community gardens. BHCD, eight youth created a positive home ownership message and marketed that message to young people of color. Parks and Recreation, 12 youth studied and applied to crime prevention through environmental design process to offer recommendations to make areas like Peninsula Crossing and Holiday Park more accessible and safe for public youth, for public use. Office of Neighborhood Involvement, eight youth created a short film about community involvement and explored the meaning of community, the importance of involvement, and the different ways community organizations create positive change. I'd like to thank Council for their continued support for the City Core Youth Program and introduce Andrew Mason, Executive Director of Open Meadow Alternative School.
So Andrew Mason, Executive Director of Open Meadow, and thank you each for the work that you do. It's a challenging endeavor. My task here today is to say thank you and to introduce our students.
And so I'm going to, I'll come back up and do a little bit more about potential next steps if indeed there is time remaining. But I'll move on to the introductions. First to say, however, that I don't want you to underestimate the impact that your support of these students has, and that giving them voice to speak with you today and to work with members of the bureaus has. So you're going to hear from two students who helped to create a video in partnership with the Office of Neighborhood Involvement. There were a lot more students involved in this project, but they did it a lot earlier in the year, and the editing process has taken some time along the way, and I'll let them talk to you about that. So I'm going to introduce Sarah Head and two students from her CityCorps project.
Thank you. Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, would you state your name for the record?
William Seitz, and we're going to show you the film before we do our speeches.
Okay.
Togetherness, whether it's the school community going together to the same school.
To any group of people who come together and have something in common, something that they identify with.
People coming together around something, whether it be a cause, or whether it be family, or whether it be a neighborhood, or a region, or food. But it means people coming together.
Community means to me understanding that we're all connected by that magical golden thread, and that if we forget we're connected by that, then we lose our sense of place and space and time.
Community involvement means doing anything in your community that can leave some kind of positive effect.
The community coming together to like help each other. It's like one of us is like, failing, or we're not, surviving as well in the community. We all come together to help that person.
Trying to maximize the number of people and the number of voices that are heard and are being tapped into, as far as helping to create that community that could be positive.
Looking after the place you live, making sure that people feel safe.
Having everybody engaged and feel welcoming is a good thing, but also to be proactive, not just reactive to issues.
Understand you have wonderful kids in your neighborhood, then you want to figure out programs to help bring those wonderful kids together.
Well, first off, getting to know your neighbors, making sure that the neighborhood you live in, that you know the people there and they know you.
I say work together, because together you can make a big change, and there's lots of fun. It's very important. I say learn about it, get involved and educate it, see how much it can do a lot.
And not being afraid to share who you are and what you're passionate about, what you care about, because chances are there's lots of other people right around you that care about the same things, and that the same things are important to them. And once you start to get talking, you'll find that there's maybe things going on that you didn't even know about that are really exciting.
Definitely do things that are interesting to the people you're working with. Sometimes, you know, a community might have an idea of what they want to do and it's different than yours, and people are afraid to kind of go with that idea, but I think you'll get more and you'll have better engagement if you start where our community's at.
That's great. Well done, folks.
Really nicely done.
My name's Casey Davis, and I'm going to talk to you about the film that you just saw. This film was created for a program called Community Connect. Community Connect is an effort to improve community involvement in the city of Portland. Their goals are to increase the number and diversity of people who are involved in their communities, strengthen community capacity, and increase community impact on public decisions. Now that you know a little bit about the program that we made the movie for, here is a little bit about the program that helped us make the movie. The program that helped us make the movie was OLLI, Oregon Learning Lab for Information. OLLI is a program that is run out of Portland Community Media and Metro East. OLLI is a program to help give underprivileged students the chance to make a video. The process we took to make this video happen was, first, we went to OLLI for two classes on photo shooting. In these classes, I learned that someone's face should be in the upper two-thirds of the screen. We also learned techniques to make filming easier. But that's enough about what I learned in these classes. Let's see how I used it to make the video. Before we could do any filming, we had to create a storyline using this thing called a storyboard. All of us did storyboards, then we combined our ideas into one. We decided to show people doing work in their communities and people who work in their communities talking about the communities. This film was important because it showed me the lack of people getting involved in their community. This was important to me because if more people got involved in their community, they could find someone who wants the same things in their community, and two people are better than one. It also opened my eyes to why people should come together in their communities and how much of an impact one person can have. The one quote that stuck out to me was, "Just get out and get involved." Elizabeth Brenneman, an Open Meadow senior, said this, and it is the first thing I think of when I think of community involvement. Now I'd like to introduce to you William Seitz, who will be talking to you about the editing process and how he can use what he learned in the future.
Hi, my name is William Seitz, and I'm going to tell you about the computers, software, editing, and how I can use this knowledge in the future. First of all, the computers. Thanks to OLLI, we were able to use a very nice iBook Apple laptop for the editing we needed to do. Now, the editing, that was a very hard, but at the same time, it was very fun. We had to find the perfect times to do voiceovers, make sure that there wasn't any gaps in between the scenes, and most importantly, make sure that the words lined up with people's mouth movement. All of the stuff I've learned from making this video, I think will help me a lot in the future. Especially because I plan on opening my own mechanic shops. And it will benefit me to know how to make my own commercials instead of paying someone else a ton of money to do it for me. All right, I'd like to thank Mayor Tom Potter and the entire city council and all of the people that helped me create this film. I would also like to thank all the people who made CityCorp possible. Thanks again, and have a lovely day.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So in a remaining minute or two, I'd just like to suggest a couple of next steps. The thing that the students walk away from CityCorp with, they've gone to Open Meadow and they get their diploma and they learn the skills they need to succeed in what comes next for them, and there are students who are living in cars and leaving the public system who may come to Open Meadow. I think of one young man who's now started a job at a local bank this week, who just graduated last week. But what they walk away from is talking about the impact that they had. They talk about the voice that they had. They talk about the opportunities to impact their community and things like CityCorps. This is what they remember, and it's what they talk about, and this is where I'm saying please don't underestimate the impact. Next steps, I think the O argued, the Oregonian argued fairly well on earlier this week in a half-page editorial in terms of good next steps with the school system. And I just want to recognize the city's, what I feel like is the city's essential role for these students in getting to use a bully pulpit to really make sure that we're focusing on the populations in our schools that may not otherwise get a voice. And I think that bully pulpit has been well used and can continue to be. But I think also that there are partnerships that you can cultivate, like the CityCorps program, but both the Oregonian called on strategic planning and cooperation with the district, and I look forward to that occurring, and I think that can really help to promote programs like CityCorps that best leverage the strengths of the city, things that advance the city's essential missions, and ultimately add value to the youth. So I will just say that all children have minds of their own, and we all know that our job is to keep it that way. I hope that you all keep the spirit relentlessly, and I thank you very much for your support of this project and for our students' youth, for our city's youth.
Thank you, Andrew.
Mayor, we've had a request for public testimony on this.
This is a presentation, and there is no public testimony. Please read the 10 a.m. time, sir.
Item 692. Council to convene as the budget committee to approve a budget.
I'm convening the council as the budget committee for purposes of approving a budget. We'll now have FPD present a summary of the changes that the budget committee wishes to incorporate.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Casey Short, financial planning manager, and with me is Nancy Hartline, the budget coordinator. You have before you what we endearingly call the change memo, which is a list of changes to the proposed budget that are before you for approval today. We have had an extension of our deadline to submit the budget to the Multnomah County Tax Supervising and Conservation Commission. That deadline is tomorrow, so we hope to get this to them by then. I'd like to just go over a summary, not everything, of the changes included in the change memo, because there are a number of them. And what I'll be focusing on will be two changes made in the programmatic area, one technical adjustment, and new budget notes that have been added to this list since the proposed budget. The major items to cover in the programmatic changes are that this budget increases funding for the service coordination team for more treatment beds, increases bond proceeds and ongoing funding committed to pay those bonds for the public safety systems revitalization project, and a reduction in one-time funding for that in the 0809 budget, a reduction in anticipated bond funding for the Emergency Coordination Center from $6 million to $4 million, and a direction that bureaus will absorb the cost through the overhead model to pay that debt service in ensuing years. We're increasing funding for the Portland Office of Transportation by $2.4 million. $2 million of that is backfill for anticipated and coming shortfalls in gas tax revenue, and an additional $150,000 for the bike program and $250,000 for safe routes to schools. In parks, there are a number of changes. The major ones include a reduction to the backfill of the parks levy, reduced by $94,000 from the original $2.7 million, so it's a little over $2.6 million. There's an addition of $164,000 for the tennis program. I'm trying to cover here today those things that were brought up, points that were raised at the budget hearing on May 8th, and tennis was visible there. That's $94,000 for ongoing support and $70,000 to match other contributions for tennis court resurfacing. There's increased funding for the Mount Tabor Master Plan, and there is funding for the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center. In the Fire Bureau, there's increased funding to cover the contract with the Portland Firefighters Association, which I understand the union has ratified and is on your agenda today. We are having to eliminate one rescue unit, and we're also adding one inspector position. In special appropriations, one thing that was discussed at the budget hearing was a request to increase funding for downtown marketing in relation with the opening of the new light rail on the mall. That's $300,000. And there is $50,000 for support for the Oregon Food Bank. The major technical adjustment is to establish a $5 million rainy day fund consistent with the resolution council adopted last month. That is composed of $2.4 million from balancing all the other changes that have come about, including moving $1.8 million for police vacancies from the general fund contingency into this portion of the contingency, and adding $2.6 million in additional beginning fund balance that we anticipate will be available at the start of the year. Budget notes, there are five new budget notes. Two are requested by the Portland Utilities Review Board, one directing water to study the base charge, and another having the Office of Sustainable Development look at low-income assistance for residential solid waste customers. There is a budget note to fund a new IPR position, a half-time position, in the auditor's office for 3 years. And there are two others. One is to establish council's intent to convert one-time funding to ongoing funding for programs and positions that were funded as ongoing in the mayor's proposed budget. This includes the Office of Human Relations, the Youth Violence Prevention Program, a labor relations position in human resources, and a grants analyst position in financial services. And also in that note is the same direction, intention to restore $94,000 to parks that is reduced in the programmatic that I discussed a moment ago. Finally, there are in the $5 million rainy day reserve a number of set-asides. The first is the $1.8 million for police vacancies. If the police bureau needs that, that would be available to them if they come to council and demonstrate the need. There is $1.75 million for the potential purchase of land on top of $250,000 that's in the budget for the Regional Public Safety Training Center. And there's $568,000 for City Hall reconfiguration. My understanding is that OMF facilities will be coming to council when they have a plan for how to make the move work and what the cost will be. That's the summary of what I wanted to bring to you today. There are many other things in this budget, but I'll just open it up to questions.
Questions from the commissioners?
Well, at some point, I want to propose an amendment, so okay. Whenever that appropriate time is.
Just after this part. Okay. Are there any other questions?
Yes. No, mine are suggestions.
Okay. Thank you. Commissioner Leonard?
In the mad world that is putting a budget together, it's not uncommon to miss something. And so I want to describe this first, and I'll propose the amendment. Mayor Potter and I have been discussing a $300,000 item that would fund the homeless self-sufficiency services program that Central City Concern provides. There's some, I think, outstanding questions about not whether or not to provide for that or not whether it should be provided for that, but I think it's fair to characterize some outstanding concerns about the administration of that. So what I'm going to be proposing would be $300,000 that would actually go into the rainy day contingency fund that we are creating. The idea behind it then is after the new housing commissioner comes on board, he can sort out these details for us. To release that money, he would have to come back to the council with an ordinance that would authorize us to release that money. But at least what we've done is identified it and put an asterisk by it in that fund. So the motion would be to move to set aside $300,000 within the rainy day fund contingency for the purpose of providing homeless self-sufficiency services.
Second.
Discussion.
Mr. Mayor, yes. I'm sorry, we haven't had a motion on adopting the changes outlined in the change memo.
Excellent point.
We have some of the, thank you.
Second.
Okay.
And so I move to amend that motion with the previously stated motion.
Second.
Call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye.
Mr. Mayor, Council, two items that in consultation with Casey suggested that I mention them, that if Council is interested to come back between now and the adopted discussion. One of them is the $250,000 for enhanced wellness program that would be funded with overhead charges among all the bureaus, and to come back to Council with be 3 weeks between today the approved and 3 weeks till we consider the adopted. And then also to come back, or I'd like the Council to consider, it has no budget impact, but between now and the adopted, be coming to Council that any resources above what has been forecasted in the five-year financial plan for the utility franchise fee, so this again doesn't affect any revenues in the forecast, anything above that would go to PDOT maintenance. So those are, I'm flagging those items. Mm-hmm. Those aren't any amendments, but to see if there's any Council discussion on either one of them.
I assume we'll be having discussion between now and then. Okay. Is there anybody sent to testify on these amended changes to the budget?
We have four people signed up.
Let's call the first three.
Andy Seaton, Veronica Bernier, and Mark Jolin.
Read the second name again.
She's coming.
I want to remind the folks speaking that you are to address the changes in the budget. We've already had public hearings on the budget itself. So only those changes that were discussed today are the ones that would be commented on.
Then I'll withdraw my request to testify. I just had a more general statement. So.
Okay.
Well, good morning. My name is Andy Seaton. I'm a resident of Portland. I actually have a home, so I'm glad to live there. A couple of items on the changes. One, that is good to see that you're spending or setting aside $300,000 for a homeless self-sufficiency fund program. It's a little fuzzy as to what that would actually be, but I'm glad to see that you folks are at least making a token effort. But pardon me, actually, first things first. Congratulations, Sam. It's the first time I've seen you since the election on becoming the next mayor here of this fair city of ours. And I hope that issues won't have to be dealt with so divisively in your upcoming administration or administrations for however long that you care to run. I will certainly vote for you each time. But I was also flipping through here and noticing that that we are spending, let's see, in attachment D, let's see, item number 154, which is the Gulf Fund, there's a change being proposed. We're adding $1,634,934 to the budget. Now, I'm a big fan of golf as much as everybody else, but I'm not exactly sure if the city really should be in that business when there are people talking about rainy day funds actually have to live out in the rain. And Portland is a rainy place. And the $300,000 pales in comparison to the $1,634,000 and change, and the total budget for golf that is being spent by this city is almost $10 million, $9,830,373. So, you know, it's really a question of priorities and what's important to the council, and it is clear that if you want to measure it this way, that the homelessness isn't even close to being as important as keeping our golf courses green and in keeping the world safe for golf. I mean, that's just one item out of here that just really makes me wonder. And the other thing is that bothers me is the way that as folks so eloquently testified earlier this morning, the city is not only criminalizing homelessness and
you're
basic
out of order,
human
Andy.
Rights.
You're out of order. Keep it to the testimony at hand, or you can stop.
All right. Well, so the question is, how much money would it take to actually solve the homeless problem, and how much more money? You know, I would recommend taking the
you're out of order.
The 16 you're, the 1.6 million
you're
and
done.
Transferring it over to
you're
the
done.
Homeless issue. Thank you very much.
Please proceed.
Good morning, Mayor Potter. Nice to see you looking so well this morning, looking healthy. Good morning, Commissioner Saltzman. Dan, you're looking well. Good. Nice color. That's a little better. Okay, good morning, Commissioner Sam Adams. Doing a great job on transportation. I just wanted to send you some kudos. We all know what those are. It's not candy bars to eat, but definitely doing a number one job on transportation. We see obvious evidence of it already. And Commissioner Leonard's A-okay. The BOAC team is right out there in the front. Good. I would just like to comment just briefly on the budget item, just real quickly. The budget's fine. The budget's great. I just wanted to say that you're doing a great job, and it looks A-okay to me. One tiny little thing I would recommend in terms of the budget is just having that open door policy that you've been having, and that's so important. We in public health know that even as far as the latest knock and talk with the Red Cross, they are beginning to build bridges, and that's the biggest thing in Portland that makes it different from any other city in the United States. Building bridges and bridging the gap in dollars and cents. So keep it going. It's a city that works well safely. Thanks.
Is there another person?
Mike D.
Pass that down. That's his.
I've told the other folks is that you're to keep your comments restricted to the issues at hand, which are the amendments to the budget, not the full budget, but the budget that's been discussed today.
Did you give out that list today?
That's the discussion today, and that's what the testimony has to be on.
Well, I'm confused whether you're talking about the 50 items on the consent agenda related to budget issues.
No, it's the budget itself.
Because there was a lot of issues today that were discussed. Actually, you're right, they weren't discussed regarding the budget, so I don't understand how you could have a budget discussion and not talk about all
you're
that.
You're out of order.
Well, I didn't start yet.
Well, you did and you finished.
I thought you were just
putting you out of order. You're not here discussing the amendments to the budget. You were discussing the consent agenda that's already been voted on.
I was asking about it. I asked if you gave out a list of the amendments to the budget today. I have all the things from the agenda, so I might have it here. So you're talking about item 692. I have it right here. Are you ready to start my time?
Time started. Just go ahead.
It's going.
Okay.
Please finish it. Restricted to the items in discussion on the amendments to the budget.
Okay. I think taxpayers may be concerned that you're raising that you're you have a rate against their property, you know, per $1,000 of 4.5770, and there was a voter approved general obligation bond and principal interest, and then there was a lot, you know, $111 million plus dollars for fire and police disability retirement fund, so I'm sure people are happy about that. So when you're talking about the amendments, are you talking about the four attachments?
Talking about the amendments that was discussed at council previous to the public testimony.
I mean, that's a lot of things.
And that's what you're to testify on.
Okay. I think it's pretty vague what you're talking about, but I'll make an attempt to. I guess part of my reason for not having a, okay, so I'm concerned about the increase in the street access for everyone funding from $292,000 to $492,000 to provide additional day access for people who are homeless. I think that's great, but it's the way the enforcement's been, it isn't working the way it's supposed to be. People are being targeted because they're homeless. They're being swept off the sidewalk in the name of the sit, lie, stand, obstruction is nuisance ordinance. Sidewalk ordinance, and people aren't, the police aren't using the state law requirement to interact with the social service agency, which Joyne has that position to do that right now. And then people are getting camping ban notices and cited for interfering with police officers and structures.
Your time is up.
Great, thank you.
We have a motion on the floor. Please call the vote.
So this is a motion on the amendment?
We've already voted on the amendment.
No, we voted on the amendment to the amendment, so we have to vote on the amendment.
Okay. Please vote on the amendment. Please call the vote on the amendment.
Adams?
So I'll save my comments for the full motion. Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please call the vote.
I just, if I could, yes, make just clarification for the record for those of folks that might be listening in. The Gulf Fund is an enterprise fund. It must pay for itself. And so the, as I understand it, and so the, it is self-supporting. So resources that could go to homeless programs or housing, they don't compete. Is that an accurate summary?
That's correct, Commissioner Adams. The funding for the golf fund is entirely generated by revenues raised at the golf courses. There are no tax dollars that go to support that.
Thank you. All right, I'm ready to vote.
Okay, call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Well, this is a budget that probably took more work than any other budget, at least since I've been on council. I think it's...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Are we voting on the budget?
Yes. Yes,
okay.
We are.
Okay. And it's I think an excellent product. The irony of this budget in the current context of some of the homeless advocates is we probably spend more in this city. I don't say probably. I've been informed we spend more on homelessness and housing issues than any other city per capita in the United States of America. You probably have no more focused people on the council to create decent places for people to live, permanent housing, than of the people here and obviously a person that's not here, former Commissioner Eric Sten. We consume huge amounts of general fund dollars to provide permanent housing for people. We consume huge amounts of general fund dollars, and increasingly so, to provide services that are the responsibility of the county and state for drug and alcohol treatment and mental health treatment. But we know it's the right thing to do, and so we do that. And so I think a number of us up here are scratching our heads, feeling a little bit like some of those that are criticizing our efforts don't really understand what we're doing and would spend as much time researching and asking questions about what we're doing, probably wouldn't find themselves objecting to the city's multitude of approaches. And I would put Mayor Potter at the top of that list, too. I mean, he absolutely viscerally believes in providing services and the funding there, too, for people who can't help themselves. So it's a little frustrating to sit here and listen to some of what we have. But all that notwithstanding, I am proud of this budget. I'm proud of the work that we all did to produce this budget. And I think it's as a result going to create a basis upon which the new administration that takes office next January can have a very successful 4 years. And I want to acknowledge that, and I want to acknowledge Mayor Potter's work to make this a good balanced budget, and publicly express my appreciation to him and his efforts. Aye.
I thought we did.
We did because remember I
that's right.
We Casey mentioned that when I made the motion for the 300,000 that we hadn't had the motion yet.
No, he'd said we didn't have a motion to adopt the budget.
I believe I think I was wrong when I told you earlier. Yeah, they are going right.
Be glad to repeat it.
I'm done. Thank you. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to thank what started out as a five-person council. Commissioner Stan had a big role in shaping this budget, but in the final analysis, it came down to the four of us here. And with great support from our staffs, from financial planning, who really worked above and beyond the call of duty, I want to thank all of you for helping us, and our citizen budget members, too. I think what we've got here is a budget that truly reflects some of the pressing priorities facing this city. And probably first among those are some major, significant investments in our public safety operating systems so that our police and fire and our emergency operations center can stay up to date, operate on state-of-the-art equipment, and serve and keep our citizens safe. So I want to acknowledge those, thank Mayor Potter for his leadership on those. But there's truly important investments here for transportation, for parks, as Commissioner Leonard said, for housing and ending homelessness. This reflects a lot of good work, and a lot of significant city priorities are being addressed by this budget. So I really want to thank again the entire council for its work on this, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
I think it's important that the community hear that this is a united council around this budget. It's united because it meets many different needs, but it does go to the core issues. As Commissioner Saltzman indicated, the core issues and mission of the city. And we do have additional money. In addition to the $300,000 set aside for improving homelessness, we also have another $500,000 additional dollars for rental money so that we can move people into long-term housing. So there's a lot of things in there. Please go over the budget as a community and see what areas that you would like to be involved with. You know, we have a big city, we've got a big budget, but we also try to make room for people to become engaged in helping us implement the budget, because it does take citizens to really make that work. And so I want to thank the council members. It was whenever we have a lot of spare money, it tends to be a little bit more difficult than when we have to make cuts. But be as it may, I think it's a budget that's well balanced and meets the needs of our community. And with that, I vote aye. I'd like to entertain a motion that the city shall levy its fund full permanent rate of 4.5770 per $1,000 of assessed value and $8,105,449 for the payment of voter-approved general obligation bond principal and interest, and $111,152,436 for the obligation for the Fire and Police Disability and Retirement Fund.
So make that motion.
Second.
Please call the vote.
Adams.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Did we handle the state revenue sharing issue on May 14th?
We did.
Okay, good.
You held the hearing, and that's what was required.
In that case, I'm adjourning the budget committee, and we'll return to the regular council meeting. Please call at 10 a.m., excuse me, the 10:30 time certain.
Council to convene as the Portland Development Commission Budget Committee to approve the annual budget.
We're convening the City Council as a PDC Budget Committee for the purpose of approving the budget. Are there any questions from the commissioners for the PDC staff regarding this budget? Please take your conversations to the outside.
Stacy.
Excuse me?
Stacy.
Are there any discussions or questions for the PDC staff? In that case, I'd entertain a motion to approve the budget.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, if we could get